Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The internet can be your window to the world or an open door that lets cyber criminals in. Online theft, webcam spying, and identity fraud are all on the rise. But you can stay safe with Kaspersky Lab, the world's most awarded internet security. Kaspersky protects your money, privacy, identity, and data with technology perfected over 20 years. So keep exploring. Kaspersky Lab will keep you safe online. Learn more at Kaspersky.com.
What's going on? You're listening to ThisWeekInGeek.net, and I'm your host for Mike Bleh. You know what? It's the prototype. I'm
the
Mike the Birdman Dog.
You on?
Yep, I'm just going to say fuck it and go right ahead. I'm joined with...
Alex.
Sexy.
And Mr. Christopher. Blah, 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 blah.
That's right. We are back for our monthly prototype show, which actually we were supposed to have Handsome Tom on this show this month. Unfortunately, scheduling and my Skype recorder just didn't make that happen, but he will be on. I have talked to them. It is going to happen. So we'll bring back the original host of the prototype, which originated on thegameheroes.com so many years ago.
What was that? What the good?
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right.
What is this? This looks good.
Wow.
That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Part of screw attack? Oh, no, he said it.
Whoa.
Oh, fighting words.
Them's fighting words, son. So anyway, you might be wondering, what are we going to be talking about this month on the prototype? Well, it is March, and that means a year ago, almost to the day, I think, the Nintendo Switch came out. And this is the Nintendo's newest console, which has been one of the most successful console launches in history.
Probably is, actually.
Probably is, actually.
Shaping up to be, yeah.
And we're going to talk about that today. The Switch 1 year later, the good, the bad, the ugly, the future of this particular Nintendo console, as all of us in the room are Switch owners to various degrees, whether we are experienced people with the Switch, like Alex, who's probably the Switch expert in the room.
Day one, I've probably had more games than anybody here on it.
Yeah. Likely so. I have had the system since day one, but I could count on one hand.
You had only $6 in points.
Figure that
out. For the $2,000 I spent.
I have a grand total of 3 games. Mario Odyssey, Breath of the Wild, and Stardew Valley.
There was a point where I owned everything that had been released that wasn't a sports title or Just Dance.
That's insane.
That's awesome.
Now, is that including digital releases too?
The first week it came out, I had everything.
Wow.
Well, there was only like 6
there
titles.
Wasn't much on the first
no,
week.
I have probably 25 digital games. Probably 25, maybe 30.
Have you
I
played
have
them
my
all?
Switch with me. Yeah, some of them are arcade games, but there's a lot of Neo Geo style arcade games. I have, like, Golf Story. There's certain ones I've picked out. Like, I have Fast RMX. Fast RMX, I've got the Monster Boy. Monster Boy. I've got the Blaster Master. Master Blaster.
I have no idea.
I'm not sure. I'm still trying to figure out how to navigate that store.
Azure Gumball, all that stuff. So I had all the ones that piqued my interest at the beginning, and then it sort of tapered off. Golf Story was a big one I wanted to get. Yet I've only played like 10 minutes. So there's a lot of things on there that I own that I haven't gotten through yet, and I had a lot of physical releases in the first half of the year.
The only games that I've purchased and played are Breath of the Wild. Got that at launch. Mario Kart, Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, Super Mario Odyssey. I played Skyrim on it, but with no trophy support or anything like that. I was just like, well, this is just a game.
Skyrim
that I've played a million times. I also downloaded an indie game called Heroes of the Monkey Tavern.
I've seen that on there.
I really enjoyed that game. For $12, it's a steal. I would highly recommend it to everyone.
Oh, and I've put... Now that they've updated their system, it can show you how much you've played of each game onto your profile.
Mm-hmm.
And I've put 165 hours into Xenoblade.
Wasn't that a very early launch thing? Because I remember seeing that people were able to...
No, December. It was like December 2nd.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
So I put a lot in. There's... So yeah, my background is that I've seen and played a lot on the system, and even played ones that are available on multiple systems, and it's... So I probably have the most experience with the system.
It seems to be that way.
Yeah.
In terms of the person who has the least experience with the Switch, that'd probably be myself. I have Mario Kart for it, I have Breath of the Wild, and I have Skyrim. Once again, to echo what Lee just said, with no trophy support, I don't care. It's a Skyrim with no mods. And don't get me wrong, I love Skyrim. I got this when I was in the hospital. I was hoping I'd play a shit ton of Skyrim. But once I got my Xbox in there, who cares? That's what I did. I played my Xbox almost the entire time I was in St. Joseph's Hospital. So, looking back at the Switch 1 year later, the Switch has been tremendously successful financially. It's had a number of hits that have done well critically, financially. I know, Lee, as a person who works in retail at an unspecified retailer, you are able to see just how well these things are selling.
I definitely can. On average, I personally sell maybe 3 to 5 Switches a week, which is a fantastic amount of systems.
When you consider that there's like...
Are they still hard to find?
They're not hard to find.
No, even Amazon has them in stock.
Nintendo has... really fixed their since I worked the launch of the Switch, it only took a couple weeks before at least my store personally was getting them in pretty frequently.
Isn't the numbers about 1 million a month of what they're doing now?
They're doing crazy amounts of units, and even with the price tag still being set at $399 Canadian, and there's been no deals yet, it is still it is hand over fist outselling the competition right now.
That's insane. And the main reason I say that is, don't get me wrong, I am a Switch owner, but I'm not impressed yet. I'm still waiting for that title that really wins me. Right now, there is Mario Odyssey, which Alex loaned me, but I didn't get a chance to play. I've only played the port of Mario Kart, and I haven't put a lot of time in the Breath of the Wild.
It depends. Here's the thing. I have owned this since day one, right? I pre-ordered the system the day it was available. I have played maybe 2 minutes of Breath of the Wild in over a year.
You honestly, as someone who... I actually had an opportunity to test out the Switch for 20 minutes at a Nintendo-hosted event in Toronto in January of last year, before the system came out. And I wasn't sold on the system when they announced it. Zelda sold me on it. It is just an outstanding...
Is it a good big screen or small screen experience?
You know what? As an overall opinion of the Switch itself, I feel like it's better on a big screen. Entirely so. I find it a little bit awkward to not have the fluidity of a... of being able to sit back and relax with the two Joy-Cons in my hands.
I played Kirby this weekend, portable, and I liked it.
Okay.
So I think it's depending on the experience.
That is very true. Like, when I played Heroes of the Monkey Tavern, I had no problem doing that. But that is a very simplistic game. Super Mario Odyssey, I cannot play it without the Pro Controller.
No, me too.
No, yeah. I can't play Super Mario Odyssey without it being on the big screen. I don't have the Pro Controller, but without the attachments for the Joy-Con separately.
Exactly. The $95 controller.
Yeah, no, I passed on that.
You know what? Honestly, as pricey as it is, I think the reason why it's a little bit more expensive than, say, a PlayStation 4 DualShock 4 or an Xbox controller is because it has the Amiibo support. So it actually
Controller has Amiibo support?
Yes. The Pro Controller has Amiibo support.
To be honest, I call bullshit, because there's more technology in the PS4 controller especially the new one that comes in with the PS4 Pro.
But the touchpad aren't superfluous.
It's not that. It's
absolutely useless.
Audio, you can plug your headphones directly into it and have wireless audio.
That's fair.
Or, with the new controllers, wire it directly into your PlayStation and have a USB audio interface which doesn't have any compression and it's just as good as plugging it into a stereo system. So there's more technology at work in the Xbox or PS4 controller for less money. And the battery doesn't last as long as the PS4 Pro or PS4 controller.
Really? Because my PS4 controllers die.
They die
now, easily quicker now, than the Pro controller. I can leave for a month.
How old?
How long have I had my PS4 controllers? Yeah. One of them I've had probably for 2 years. The other I've had for four.
See, I have the Pro, so it's about a year old. And
okay, actually,
and
no.
It's probably the amount of charges you've had.
Fair, yeah. Okay. Well, that's
but to be honest, and it's a smaller controller. There's a bigger battery in this.
They're also not 95, they're 89. $5 difference. I'm calling you out on it.
I'm talking taxes. It's under $100. It's just under $100.
Your MSRP, you're talking 90 versus what,
actually
50?
Slightly over. It would be 150.
Yeah, like it's what? On sale, you get a PS4 controller for $50.
Yeah, the Pro controller
normally,
$49.99. And you're paying double.
Yeah.
And it's not like it has the battery life of the.
And it will never go on sale.
No, and it's not going to have the battery life of the Wii U Pro, which was like 90 hours.
I don't know. Today I pick up my Pro controller and it'll have like 3 bars of battery left, and I wouldn't have touched it for a month or so.
I also depends on the games I play have Rumble, and I put it on high.
I turn my Rumble off.
Oh, see there, that's a difference.
Yeah.
But still, we're going into the minutiae of that. But yeah. It's the accessories are more expensive because they can be.
They're Nintendo accessories.
It also does. I'll give it one thing. It feels like if I dropped it, it'll last longer than, like, it won't completely crumble.
The Pro controller?
Yeah.
Yes, it does have a very heavy frame to it. But that aside, the Switch itself does have, I feel this way with the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, unlike those two consoles, Nintendo really put it out there. They have a bunch of accessories for their system. Now, I believe that's also due in part that it's a handheld. As well as a home console, so you have the ability to get cases for it, you have the ability to get skins for it, you have the ability to do a lot of customization.
The USB-C interface is a big thing, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It uses a standard interface. So anybody that's really techie will know that their OS is ARM-based. People are saying, oh, is it Android? It's Android-based in the sense that it runs on the same hardware that Android runs on. So the hardware for the Switch is, like, I had a Pixel C from Google. It's a Pixel C. It's the exact same CPU, the whole board. It's just they don't put output to 4K like the Pixel C did to save on processing power.
Mm-hmm.
And then they upped it with 1 extra gig of RAM. Everything else is clocked identical. So, and that is, to this day, even though it's multiple years old, the fastest running Android device. So they have a highly optimized Android platform to work with. So a lot of things like certain LAN controllers and certain devices that will work with, let's say, a Chromebook
mm-hmm.
will work with it. So it's opened up a lot of doors.
The only thing I don't like about specifically the docking station of it, is how absolutely flimsy it is.
It blocks the vents in the back.
It blocks the vents in the back, but the docking station itself is, it maybe weighs, I can't even imagine, it is light.
Yeah, very it doesn't light. Feel like it has
if
any.
If you take the system out and a cable's pulled, it's going. It's going no matter what. It doesn't. It cannot sit.
The weight for anybody that doesn't have one, you know, it's getting hard to believe that it's the weight of a controller docking station, like a controller charging
station.
It's
thin, super thin, and so super lightweight.
I personally went and paid because I wasn't going to pay $100 for another one. I paid like $40 and got a USB-C hub. But then you have to get a separate power, and you have to find one that is rated for 3 or more amps so that it can actually power it. Because even with mine, if I play for 2 or 3 hours on that extra little dock or that extra plug I have, after 3 or 4 hours, it loses about 5% battery. So eventually it would run out if I'm playing it on the TV. Now, it's not like other people that plug in a cell phone charger and within an hour it's gone. So there are options this way. You know they're going to have revisions that come out that they'll have to make certain aspects cheaper, especially docking stations, because I think that's one of the things kids are going to break.
The docking station has decreased in price once, but it was like $10.
It came out at 119.
Yeah. It's now 109.
Yeah. Ooh.
It's insane.
I know. Such a steal.
And you don't get an extra HDMI cable with it.
Nope.
It's just the station.
And the
charging cable.
Charging cable, yeah.
Which by itself is $60.
So, looking at the console 1 year later, I want you to sell me on it. Like I said, I have the least experience with it.
I can.
What are my titles?
That's my job.
Yeah, like literally. Why should I be impressed with this?
Let me go before the pro goes. How does that
okay,
sound?
Okay, sounds good.
So here's my pitch.
Okay.
Right now, for me, the type of games I play, it's going to be about the type of games you play.
Okay.
I play predominantly JRPGs.
Okay.
Or RPGs in general, I'm not a big dungeon crawler fan, and I'm not a big Skyrim. I don't like first-person RPGs.
Okay.
In general,
okay.
Whatever format they take. If you are into JRPGs, traditionally, the last 15 years, you went PlayStation. Or Nintendo DS. Like, you went with a portable.
Like Atlas or NIS.
Yeah, they were supporting. Basically, they supported PS4 and PS3, and then they supported 3DS. And then Vita would get trickle downs from PS3 and PS4.
Yeah.
What they've done now is they've taken it. Nintendo now has a platform. They had a market on the JRPG strategy platformers that were all on the 3DS and DS. And then they've gone, okay, we have that same market, and we're going to sell just as many consoles in portable format. So now you get people that are putting out, like Square is putting out, I think it's Dragon Quest XI, is getting PS4, 3DS, and then Switch. So it's becoming an RPG platform like the Super Nintendo was. Mm-hmm. And like portable. So you've got that. So if you're into Japanese RPGs, platformers, that sort of stuff, is it going to play the 4K Call of Duty high? No, that's not what it's for.
Maybe I'm not the target audience for the Switch.
It depends on, but again, it depends on the game. Are we going to get fun, weird experiences like Sea of Thieves could be something that could play on it.
Absolutely, I think the game as it is now is built for something.
Are you
going to
get
like
an Assassin's Creed? It depends on the engine they use. If it's Ubisoft making it, you're very likely going to start seeing multi-platform games. It's just it takes more than a year or two to develop for it. Because this isn't like a PC where the PS4 and the Xbox One are
basically
PCs. Their x86-based processors is almost, especially programming for the Xbox, there's no difference to programming for Windows 10. It's just how it's designed. It's how the OS works. It's basically running a Windows version on the Xbox. So it's easy for them to port back and forth through that. They'll develop for one system and then just click a bunch of checkboxes when they're compiling it and it goes for another. When it goes to this is like you're programming for mobile, so it's you're going to finding probably more if let's say Square or Ubi or somebody has a mobile game already that's a high end high tier game, you'll find those ported as indie titles more to start because it's easy to port that way. But this year and next year is when you're going to start seeing, because wasn't it Steep didn't even come out because that was supposed to be a title that came out in the fall, it was the snowboarding game.
I can't remember if that game.
It was supposed to get physical, and they were working with, I think it was EA that made that, and they were working with Nintendo, and they couldn't get it to run. It just wasn't, the system wasn't powerful enough.
Hmm.
And it's not that, they have to find efficiencies. Because it's not underpowered, it's just, it's apples and oranges when you're doing systems. So, the kind of games I'm thinking, Michael, that you like,
yeah,
you're going to see things like an Overwatch.
See, that'd be fun.
You're going to see, but are you going to see,
COD.
COD. Maybe not. It depends on the market. If EA and Activision look at these sales numbers and go, we don't want a piece of that, they're stupid. But it's, can it run? Or are we going to get a case of, we get a different version of the game? Or do we get something different?
Because I think of the type of games that I play, and I'm thinking, okay, I want a COD on the Switch. What are my options? Splatoon's not a bad one.
Now,
is there a problem though with the online functionality?
This is the thing. They haven't launched their online service. It's free right now for everybody, but they don't have a dedicated service. So they're not going to do it. But if they had made their online service free, free permanent, that would have been an incentive to have people come and play more online games on the system. But they're not. It's still going to be cheaper. Was like $25 a year, $30 a year.
Yeah, it's not too expensive.
It's negligible.
They do have something weird about it, though. Something like you can only own it for a certain amount of time, and then it cuts out, and then... Et cetera,
what?
Et cetera. I don't know. I have to take another deep look into it.
Short,
but
Nintendo does online shit. They're shitty at doing online. They've always been shitty at
online. Which is so dumb, considering we live in the era of PSN and Xbox Live.
They just don't get it. They never have, and they probably never will.
I think that is part of the disconnection between the people who... yes, they're good at publishing games. Yes, they're good at creating games. But they're not good at making their customer base happy. And the reason being is because they just aren't in tune with what the other companies tend to be doing to make their customer base happy. PlayStation, Xbox, you've got Xbox Live Gold, you've got PlayStation Plus, and they're giving you 1 to 3 titles free a month for the console. They don't have to be new titles, and they don't have to be expensive titles. But they're at least showing appreciation to their fan base by saying, hey, here's a game from a couple years ago, did really well for us.
Yeah.
You can have it now.
Yeah. Sony recently put Bloodborne on that.
Exactly.
So it's a pretty major game.
They retail for $25. So you're getting about $70 a month for including all the extra systems.
Discounts and everything.
You're getting about $70 a month in value for your $70 a year.
Exactly. That's exactly what I say to anyone when I'm talking about those memberships, is it's $69.99, but in the first month you'll get $100 worth of product back. Almost. Guaranteed.
So they're a bit behind. It's going to take them a while, and nobody cares about giving you regular Nintendo games because they can just buy an NES Classic or an SNES Classic or emulate it.
Actually, I would disagree with that. I've had a lot of people come in and ask, when are those classics going to be introduced on the Switch? And I'm like, I'm not entirely sure. They did it on the Wii.
They're going to charge too much for it.
Oh, they will, guaranteed. Yeah. But it would be nice to see Nintendo follow in that, so that here's a classic for free. They've already made money on these.
I don't want to go on a rant about the points, because we've talked about it before and other things in news.
Yeah.
It just irks me that the amount of greed. And or just that
the amount of greed still.
What you can't tell me is Reggie, and you can't tell me if Nintendo of Japan, just it's such a cultural difference they just don't get it. I wonder, because I don't even know. I don't know if PS Plus NL is even in Japan. Like, I don't know if that.
I would imagine.
I don't know if they have those loyalty programs because we've never looked. But we have been trained as a culture to expect certain things from the competition. And just because they don't do it because that's not their corporate culture doesn't work anymore in the West. So if people try to blame Japan on that, but you can't tell me that Reggie and all the people at Nintendo of America, like, Nintendo of America is not Nintendo like people.
Not think. Nintendo proper.
Reggie's the president of Nintendo of America. He's the head of marketing. That's all he is. Nintendo of America hasn't developed or published the games or done anything themselves in 25 years. They haven't.
Their talent is all in one place. Everything else is.
He's the pitch man. So you can't tell me that he doesn't know when he sees these things coming out and doesn't do market research to know about the competition and go, oh boy, this isn't going to sell very well. But they have to keep a certain air of solidarity with the Japanese release. Like, you can't tell me, if you talk to him in person off the air, that he would go, yeah, it's perfect. We're perfectly competitive that way. No.
Just as a point, yes, PlayStation Plus does just exist in Japan. Their free games for the month of January this year were Ratchet and Clank, Disgaea 5, Bioshock Infinite, The Last Blade. So pretty decent lineup, actually.
So this is the thing. So this is not even just a Japan thing.
Nope.
This is a Nintendo wanting to be stubborn.
Yep.
So, and here's it bugs me, because when they were doing poorly, of course they gave out those free games for the Nintendo, or was it the DS first adopters, or 3DS?
Yeah.
Early
adopters? Well, that wasn't necessarily a do poorly problem. That was a
price drop thing, right?
That was a price drop thing. The 3DS launched at nearly $300, and they bumped it down to $200 or $175
or something. A month or two or something?
3 months, I think. Maybe six.
But you know what? You can't tell me that I don't even want it, but that they couldn't just give all the early adopters. If you registered with Nintendo's account before the 1 year anniversary,
right,
you all got snipper clips for free, $15. I would never even play
or
the game.
Or ARMS or something.
Or ARMS. So,
you're saying if the ambassador program had been extended to later Nintendo releases?
Specifically to this, when they can alter their terms of service and on their points program all they want. But don't shit in my face.
Yeah.
Because I bought your stuff ahead of time, and then say, oh, Timmy next door is going to get more than you because he came into us after our first year and now we're launching this new program. Oh, wait, you were with me from the start? Oh, that's fine. Fuck you. You had the game first.
I do appreciate it. I was actually one of those people who bought the 3DS at launch and got the Ambassador Program stuff when it came out. To me, it was not enough. Not enough to warrant $100 some odd. They were NES classic games, SNES classic games, and a couple of Game Boy Advance games that I did like Fire Emblem and Metroid Fusion. But at the same time, I know, was it Zero Hour or Fusion?
But yeah, I think it was Zero Hour. Either you don't have to offer anything, but if your competition is, and you are going to offer something comparable, and don't lie to me saying it is comparable.
Mm. Like, I don't know. That's the thing. With the Switch, I want to be wowed.
Switch, what you're going to get into on the Switch will be all the fighting games, the indie titles that are coming up. There's a lot of unique titles.
Yeah, it's so, a system that really harbors a lot of the
You are not going to be playing your shooter on there unless it's like a team shooter, like a Fortnite or an Overwatch.
Fortnite would be really cool. Yeah. I actually just started playing Fortnite this morning. I have not to date yet, today, killed anyone. I have died by my own misadventure, and I have died by getting shot.
Those are the kind of games that you could do on the system.
Yeah.
You're just not going to get your Call of Duty experience on there. And would you want to? It's even littler kids playing. Because anybody that wants to play professionally or anything like that is going to be either on a PC or probably PS4 or Xbox.
Yeah.
You're not going to play it in the way. So it's your first party titles, your Mario. Mario was fantastic. I am about a third of the way through Kirby already. And it is, I got like 64 extra lives because it is a skewed younger game. Mm-hmm. It is just super fun to just kick back and relax. That's the kind of experience you're going to get. The idea with the Switch is that it's pick up and play and go. Or you do get your JRPGs. You get your Xenoblade where you get 160 hours in. And I haven't done any of the DLC that's out yet.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have that. It's going to be, think of it like the Super Nintendo meets a modern console. That's the feeling I get from the variety of types of games. They seem to have a better variety of games than what's on the PS4 and what's on the Xbox regularly. It seems to be like, okay, this month we have an RPG, we got indie shooter, we got a platformer, and we got this weird art game. And they're going to keep that cycle going.
Yeah, I just kind of going back to the sell me on the system. You're right, Meg. I probably wouldn't be able to sell you on the system. Because it might not be exactly what you're looking for, but when I do talk to people about it, I especially because a lot of adults come in, they're like, "Oh, I have a Wii or a Wii U." I'm like, "Why don't you take a look at the Switch?" Best part about it is, you know, you're an adult, you can get your adult games on it. You got one or two kids, you get your family games on it. There's a variety of different genres on it, and the best part about it is, you want to get a car mount and slap it on the back seat so your kids can play in the back while you're driving 3 hours to wherever. That's a possibility. So to me, it touts itself as the everyman's console. Doesn't matter who you are, you can find yourself something on it. Might not be a lot of things, but it'll definitely be something.
Plus, I was just thinking, those of us that, like myself, that didn't jump on the Wii U bandwagon because we knew it was a sinking ship right away.
It took me 4 years to get a Wii U.
If you look, about 90% of those Launched first... 90% of those first-party titles are having remastered better editions come out on the Switch. So now, I will bet you that Mario Kart sold more now than it did on the original
Switch. I can almost guarantee that.
Like, I don't know. It sucks to say. I'm not the market for this system. I'm more interested in the 3DS.
But the question is, how many new games do you play on a regular basis that aren't for review? You seem to go back to the same couple franchises. So would it be like if an Assassin's Creed shows up? Would you then play it?
Yeah, then I'm interested. I mean, if they told me tomorrow Ubisoft is developing a new Splinter Cell exclusively for the Switch, I'm there tomorrow.
Or even if it's all three and you don't get a review copy for something and you want to buy it for
yourself.
Yeah,
I'd buy it. Yeah, seriously.
I would say I'm finding that the Switch is my go-to system unless there's something I must see in HD in 4K. Like, I'm not going to play a Final Fantasy 15
or Horizon Zero Dawn.
Or Horizon Zero Dawn on the Switch. I wouldn't want to, because those are the games that are touted for that. But a Dragon Quest VIII, where it's a Kira Toriyama's, you know, Dragon art Ball style. Z sort of art style, that lends itself to be scaled perfectly on the Switch.
That's another thing, scaling issues. Like, to me, games like Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild and Super Mario Odyssey were made for the bigger screen, because I can see more, I can just understand more, and I can read better on that big screen.
Kirby works on any. Yeah. But Kirby's designed to work on any.
Absolutely.
Your Donkey Kong is going to be perfect for that when it comes out.
Now, I will say this. One title that has me interested, and this is going to be surprise to fucking no one in this room, Smash.
Yeah.
You got me at Smash. Now, if you add the right amount of characters.
I think
because it will not be a new title. It will be a port with additional characters.
Alex and I were discussing this. It's 50-50.
Yeah. I am heavily leaning towards it being a port or an enhanced edition.
Which is okay.
I'll buy it, hoping that it is not, because I found Smash for the Wii U to be exceedingly dull. It didn't have a good adventure mode in it. It had to me what... because wasn't it that run mode where you ran through and...
No idea, because nobody had the Wii U.
I can't remember what it was, but it was like you went through, you gathered a bunch of bonus, fought a bunch of mini-bosses, then you had a match at the end. Boring.
Yeah. Not as cool as Subspace Emissary.
Subspace Emissary to me was super fun. It had a plot, even though everyone was a voiceless protagonist. And then you fought a battle in between. But it had a story. It had something where people met up, and it was almost like the Avengers.
Yeah, there was a reason
for stuff.
Yeah, exactly. There was a reason. So I'm hoping that we get that some sort of story. You know, just
you know what? You know what would sell me on a Switch right now? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If you could get an arcade brawler with the Power Rangers license.
Yeah, but Power Rangers would sell you on anything.
Oh, pretty much. But yeah, like I was just saying, fighting games. The problem is with the Switch, a fighting game, a true fighting game, in my opinion, needs a fight stick. So, although there is Street Fighter for this console, are there Switch adapters for fight sticks?
Doubt it sincerely.
Not official ones, anyway. Aftermarket... Make your own
but remember they released the firmware update that allows you to use the GameCube adapter.
Okay, so there probably are GameCube fights because there was Capcom versus SNK.
Does it allow you to use the GameCube adapter on everything? Like I can use it to play
games,
no matter what game?
Games that will support it, meaning they did it. That's how we had the inklings a few months ago that Smash was coming out,
right?
Because they're obviously going to want to have, and that's what's making me think that it's a port, not a new game,
right? Because the Wii U version had the support after they released the adapter.
Yeah, which is because I play with the GameCube controller, so...
Well, I have the adapter. I have a couple of the WaveBird controllers.
Yep, same here.
So I'm just cursory, taking a look at Amazon.com for what's coming out for the Switch. Because Canada, they got it all over the place. They put the Switch games in the GameCube category. They got it in the Wii category. There is literally seven games listed under the Switch as an actual game. So we got Smash Brothers, Metroid Prime 4...
Okay, that I care about.
Bayonetta, which I got the remakes. Octopath Traveler.
That yes. I care about. Super that I'm very curious.
Exclusive that looks absolutely amazing. Can you do it on the PS4? I think it'll look good either on the small screen or on the big screen, and it won't matter. So they've done the scaling on that right.
See, that's the type of game where I see the Switch as the successor to the 3DS, because the 3DS's life cycle is over.
No. Nope.
You won't see it supported for too much longer.
They've got probably 2 years. Because there's titles that haven't been translated. Like, we never thought we were going to get Pikachu.
Detective Pikachu.
So, I think we have 1 year of first party, and then we got, like, Atlas and all them putting up their last
stuff.
So they'll
keep it like the Vita.
It'll be probably 2 years, and then it'll be pretty much gone. Like, not like next year this time, the Christmas season.
Judging by my normal, like, the spiel that I talk about when customers come in and ask me, is my console... am I going to see a PS5 next year? Or a new Xbox or whatever? I usually say, well, for at least PlayStation and Microsoft, standard life cycle is 2 years where it runs with its predecessor, 4 years where it runs... 4 to 6 years where it runs side by side. Runs on its own, and then maybe 1 to 2 years where it runs with its successor. And that seems to be the generic for Nintendo, at least for the past three systems. It's been 2 years running with its predecessor, 2 years running alone, and 2 years running with its successor. But, I mean, not in the case of the Wii U, where immediately support was dropped when the Switch came out. No games.
Yeah, it was
nothing.
Done.
Zero. Maybe it's just chance 2018.
Yeah, because Ubisoft is still putting games out for the Wii. right now. You can still get the new
original
Just Dance.
Wii?
Yeah, you can still get
Just Dance. That was the last one.
It was the Just Dance one.
I doubt sincerely they're going to do 2019 on it.
No, probably not.
They might do it on the Wii U.
So, I went to Nintendo's website just to get, you know, what's coming out. It doesn't have dates, but, like, what's upcoming to sort of have an idea of what they're releasing physically. Wolfenstein 2 is going to get a physical
release. That's a shooter that I'm
Then there's the indie titles. You've got that Pocket Fighters, which was supposed to be a launch title and it didn't come. I'm going to skip the indie titles because that's going to be on multiple things. We've got
Undertale's coming eventually.
Yeah. Siberia. World Ends With You.
That's a 3DS, or that's a DS port, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's got my attention. I think, if anything, if the console's going to get me interested, it'll get me with RPGs. And it has to be the right way. You know what would sell me again? Which, it probably won't happen, but maybe. A remake of Chrono Trigger.
Well, the talk was maybe that they've been testing that engine they use for Octopath for other titles for remastering. The only two titles I could think of that would work would be that one might be a little trickier because of the art style. I would think a Final Fantasy VI would pop up that way probably first.
They could, you know what I'd like to see, if they could revive the bones of it that the third game made, because they fucked that up so hard. I don't know if Camelot still exists, but I would love to see Golden Sun redone in the style of Octopath.
Or maybe
they've got Crash Bandicoot coming out, physical release.
Mm-hmm.
You know what would be cool, and it would make so many Nintendo fanboys happy? If you told me there was a Mother trilogy.
Earthbound, yeah.
That would sell.
And because
done.
The hesitance to do that sort of thing before on a home console was, this looks like a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah.
People
do love that. Yeah.
But they don't think that. They think it's like, remember there was a while where Sony wasn't allowing any 2D games. I think it was on the PlayStation. Back in the day,
PlayStation 1?
Yeah, I think it was PlayStation 2, sorry. They tried to discourage anybody from releasing games that looked old, even if they were fun.
That makes sense. I can't actually think of off the top of my head of a scroller or a 2D or anything like that.
That was all going to the Dreamcast and to Saturn, and then eventually Nintendo was taking it all. But yeah, it was either PS1 or PS2 era. They tried to downplay, even though the system couldn't really handle 3D
true
as well.
True 3D, yeah.
But yeah, so companies have tried that and it doesn't work. Eventually people want to play what they want to play. But you got Dark Souls coming out.
I heard there was a big uptick in sales for the Switch itself when that was announced.
So you've got that,
is weird to think of a title like that being a system seller.
It's been out there for so long. All the Mario people have sports, already played through it so much, and yet it's still
Street Fighter HD, Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection. Yeah. That's something I'd rather play on Nintendo than I would on anything else.
Mm-hmm. See, I'd rather play that on a PlayStation 4 because I want my fight stick.
You've got Donkey Kong, all the first party titles. Mark my words, we'll see Cuphead on the system.
When the
exclusivity runs up, and yep. That'll be something that's really good. South Park's coming out. So anything that has a cartoony art style is going to work perfect, and you will see no difference between that and
Do you think
and
I'd
the
see
consoles.
The new Tomb Raider when exclusivity runs out?
It all depends on the engine they use. Or if they think the market is there for it. Has there ever been a Tomb Raider on a Nintendo console?
Not that I can think of.
Maybe the GameCube?
I was thinking the 64.
We're more likely to see things like Metal Gear remakes of like.
See, yeah, if you told me there was a Metal Gear, the Twin Snakes remake for the Switch.
Also, GameCube games probably remastered because that's the talk. If they're making the controllers support it, don't be surprised if we see like a bunch of like Mario Sunshine.
Activision holds the rights to the James Bond franchise, correct?
Yes.
Does anyone remember who did the development for Nightfire? Because I would kill to play that again.
EA, and I can't tell you.
Was it the same?
It was EA Activision.
Probably the same studios that did World's Not Enough, sort of thing. Maybe
it could very well be. But that was my favorite James Bond game. I would love to
Quantum of Solace because it ran on the COD engine.
Quantum of Solace. Wait, for the Wii?
No, for the 360 and PS3.
Okay, I never played it for those. I played terribly on the Wii.
Everything played terrible on the Wii.
I think the big thing will be every system out there has done backwards compatibility ports, but they've not entered into the past. Like, isn't there some N64 games on the new 3DS? Or
yeah, like Star Fox.
Or report, or remade, redone. But GameCube games.
There's a
lot of people that would like to play GameCube games on newer consoles. Can you imagine being able to take
Metroid Prime Trilogy?
Metroid Prime Trilogy. Take, you know, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicle, whatever you want like that, on the go. Walk outside and just...
Or Twilight Princess.
Twilight Princess, on the go.
Good one.
Would love to have that on there.
See, okay, you know what? That would sell me on the system. If I could get Twilight Princess with the GameCube controls, fuck this Wii shit, and if you could get me Metroid Prime Trilogy as a like just before 4 came out, okay, you know what? I'm in.
So, I mean, as long as they handle their backwards compatibility or whatever they call their eShop, you know, previous games.
Whenever the hell it launches.
Because I don't think they're calling it Virtual Console anymore. Whatever they do there, if they handle it properly, it could be very well done. It, for the future, it's full steam ahead. Like, they had a fantastic first year on the product side. Not on the, they're not great at customer service side, customer loyalty, like, because they feel they don't need to be. Because
I don't know. Actually,
they're a juggernaut.
There is one thing Nintendo did for me, and I was so surprised. And it may be because of my relationship in the media. Is I lost my 3DS. I've lost a couple of them by accident. And I lost one. The president of marketing for Nintendo Canada sent me a royal purple 3DS with a handwritten note saying, "Hey, Mike, I heard you lost your 3DS. Thank you for being a loyal customer."
That's pretty cool, and it's probably somewhat to do with that, but also consider, after, what are we at, 5 years of that system being out? 6 years of that system being out?
What, the 3DS? I think we went...
2011.
11, yeah.
No, so 7 years?
Going on seven.
So 7 years, and they've made so many, it probably cost them, at this point, $15 a unit.
Which is crazy, and now they're pushing the 2DS XL.
Which is what I have. I have that blue one that has the same color as the Switch controllers. And the hinge is a little loose on it, and that's out of the box. That was a complaint. Like, they cheaped out on some aspects, but made it portable and a lot cheaper to get. So I'm happy to have that, but it probably cost them maybe $10, $15 to make it, and they charge $150, $200.
Like, I don't know. I'm hoping the Switch takes the place of my 3DS. I'm a little worried about how I carry it, but that's why there's carrying
cases. There's screen protectors, and it's easy to make because of the style that it is. And again, you can dock it when you need it docked. You can have it on the go when you need it on the go. It's this year, it looks to be a lot, like, it looks like every month there is a AAA title, either first party or something else coming out. We had Kirby this month. Last month was Bayonetta 1 and 2.
Mario Tennis comes out in June.
Mario Tennis is June. Is April...
Donkey Kong?
Is it April?
I believe so.
May is the Tennis, right?
No, that's June.
May has Dark Souls. It might be a remake, but it's still very popular.
That Shantae game bundle is coming out, which is going to fill the gap sort of.
Something I want, is that Shantae game.
Then you've got Octopath is in July.
July.
Which is earlier than I expected.
Yeah,
I'm so excited.
A summer game, that means that it's gone really well, and it's already probably gold right now to release. You've got, is Yoshi 2018 still, or is that 2019?
We'll move on.
Smash is this year, 2018.
I would assume
holiday would be released.
Yeah,
for
that's going to be
November
release. You've got.
You know what? I just had a thought. You realize we'll see more characters by E3. We could potentially find out even sooner, because if they're making amiibos of all the new Smash characters, they're already in production.
Oh, and the Crash Bandicoots this year.
Yep.
Yes.
Which, and their advertising is, even we can't believe it's coming out on this system. So they're marketing quite well that way. You've got a bunch of indie titles that look good coming out as well.
I remember when Wikipedia allowed you to...
Okami HD.
Yep.
Sort by date.
Yeah, and you've got... what else we got here?
The very fact that they do all these Nintendo Directs now offers another channel for them to bring information.
A bunch of RPGs from Atlas and AS America... Ease 8, which was a surprise sort of big hit on the PS4, is getting a port, which comes out in the summer. So it's going to be at least one AAA title every month. And it looks like probably 5 or 6 from Nintendo themselves. Which, how many first-party Nintendo titles did you get in a year with the Wii? Was it 2?
Maybe.
Most of the time.
And it looks
one
like,
or two.
And you're getting six or seven now.
Because Nintendo learned a lesson.
I feel like they might be blowing their load with it, though. Cause no, after, because afterwards, are we going to see 4 years of no titles?
No, remember, half of this is remakes of the Wii U.
Fair.
So you had Pokken Tournament was a remake. Mario Kart was a remake. Donkey Kong is a remake.
So you think
Bayonetta is a remake.
2020, they might release a bunch of new ones in the
yeah.
IPs.
If they're
the
smart,
next
because
Zelda.
Yeah.
I don't think they expected the two, I think it was about 2 million that they sold in North America of Xenoblade. That's really high for a JRPG that doesn't have the word Final Fantasy in it.
Yeah.
So they might port Xenoblade Chronicles X from the Wii U, or even the original Xenoblade that came out on the 3DS and the Wii. They could put that out. They could put out Tokyo Mirage Sessions, because Atlus seems to be putting out a lot of stuff with them now. Isn't Fire Emblem supposed to come out this year too?
I think so.
That was the idea, that it was coming out in the fall or winter.
I'm looking
unless
at
the it
list
got
right now.
You got Shin Megami Tensei. Yeah, there's a lot of JRPG strategy games. A lot of, I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Kirby. Oh, Toad Treasure Tracker. That's another remake.
Oh, yes, Captain Toad.
So they are first party titles. But
Fire Emblem is slated for this year at this time.
So 50% of the games are enhanced remakes. But they're enhanced remakes to games that 90% of us never played.
So they're still basically new to most people.
So it's probably three or four. Like, Kirby's brand new. Mario the Ace is brand new. Yet to be seen with Smash. So basically you've got two. So far announced, two titles that we know are completely brand new.
So here's my question. This will be the final question in the room before we wrap
sure.
things up here. What games do you want to see on the system next year? Lee, let's start with you.
Oh, God. I don't know. There's so much coming out this year. I figure that Metroid Prime 4 will not be out until 2019, 2020 at the latest. But I am excited for that. I've actually never played any of the Metroid Prime series from start to finish, and I feel that is a bad thing. I would like to see some of the more frequent titles that are released on PlayStation and Xbox be ported over to the Switch as well. So I think it would actually do well with a hockey game. And I'm not saying this as someone who I don't like sports in the slightest and I would never play a hockey game, but at the same time...
Like a Mario hockey game?
No,
or
NHL 19 on the Switch.
That can be done
by... I want Mario Legends. Blades of Steel. Some shit like that. That'd be cool.
NHL, they haven't had an NHL game on a Nintendo console since NHL 11.
Really?
It's been 8 years since they've done one.
And that was that terrible port that wasn't even...
It was NHL 11. It was called... There was NHL Slapshot.
Yeah.
And there was NHL 11 the Gretzky Edition. But that was the last time they did an NHL game for a Nintendo console.
Oh, wow.
So I think it would be a monumental success to see a lot more sports games on there. They did FIFA. They did NBA. They did WWE. NBA did very well for the Switch. I don't know. Franchises that I'd like to see revived, I'd really like to see Nintendo take back some of the ones that Rare left with. I know it's impossible because Microsoft owns Rare, but I'd love to see a True Blue Banjo-Kazooie again.
Jet Force Gemini.
I would hold out for hope that they could do another Golden Sun. I really think that franchise, especially because of the stupid Lost Age game that they did, really took a nosedive in quality. But at the same time, I loved that franchise. It had such rich storytelling. I'd love to see another one.
Tristan?
I'm pretty much doomed, because what I want to see is a lot of retro gaming. I want to see some of the older stuff. I want to see whatever version of the Virtual Console bring a lot of my old favorites back, like Super Mario RPG, Link to the Past. And I know that's not going to happen because of the success of the Nintendo Classic and the Super Nintendo Classic. That's just where they're putting those eggs. So it's kind of... I wish on one hand, shit in the other, and I know which hand is going to end up full first.
Charming, Alex.
Like a new Paper Mario, but in an RPG style, more like Mario RPG. But realistically, I would like to see a new good Star Fox game.
Yeah.
Oh God. After
or
Zero?
You know what? Or F-Zero.
That'd be cool.
A good F-Zero game. I'm trying to think if there's any other title that you want to revive that was a first party. I you know what I thought did was really good, but it didn't sell, and it's in the bargain bin everywhere, and it's made by the same people that made Fire Emblem. So I'd like to see Codename Steam brought back as an enhanced remake.
I didn't mind Codename Steam at all.
And that's a first party. That was a first party title.
Yeah.
So more strategy, more games in the vein of Mario Kingdom Battle.
Yeah, that I could see that. I actually just thought of one that was from the N64, and I actually don't know if it appeared on any other other system, but I did like the style of it. It was kind of like a half Resident Evil, half like X-Files kind of game. It was called Hybrid Heaven.
Yep, heard of it. Yeah,
yeah,
that reminds me.
Yeah, or Hybrid Haven, I can't remember. But at the same time, I can remember so very little about it, and I kind of want to get a reintroduction to it.
Turok, end of story.
Considering we just got the remasters on the Xbox, yeah.
I want to see a sequel to Eternal Darkness.
Yes.
That game is amazing. Oh. I sunk so much into that game.
Call up St. Catharines and see. Yeah.
Dennis Diag's on my Facebook.
Probably just crying. Why don't they love my games?
If I had to pick some games, I'd like to see a new Mega Man. Exclusive to the Switch, which I think would be cool. I'd like to see a new Castlevania. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Bloodstained's coming out this year, and it's going to be on the Switch too.
Okay. Remastered GameCube and Wii games. I would love. This will never happen, unfortunately. Tatsunoko versus Capcom. I'd like to see that finally ported because it was exclusive to the Wii, and there was talk of putting it on Xbox Live, but it just never happened. Which is really
never say never because it crashed, dude.
Yeah, that's true. You
Crash
never know.
Crash was first party.
We're in a weird age of gaming.
And if I could pick one franchise to put on the Wii, because I think, or not the Wii, the Switch, because I think it'd be so cool because no one would see it coming, Castlevania. Because Konami, Metal Gear Survive was a hot mess of garbage, but you bring back Simon or Trevor Belmont, I'm there day one. So anyway, that's
what Sorry, one last thing. I think we could all agree.
Yeah.
A new Turtles in the vein of Turtles in Time.
So not like the Manhattan game that just came out a little while ago, which was fun. Platinum Games did a great job on that game.
But a Turtles, I think the system is, it would be perfect for brawlers.
I want a Power Rangers game like that.
Like a brawler, like the old one they had on the Game Gear.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this month's edition of The Prototype. As always, if you want to get involved in the show, you can reach us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We do have a voicemail line. We do listen to everything. That number is 817-717-7202. We definitely want to hear from you. Our Twitter is @thisweekingeek, but you can reach us individually. Mine is @BirdmanDodd.
@TurtleTreasure.
@EmperorWayne.
And @MrTristopher.
So we hope you guys will join us again next month here on ThisWeekInGeek.net on The Prototype, where hopefully we talk with Handsome Tom, the originator, one of the originators of ScrewAttack.com and the proprietor of TheGameHeroes.com. So guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard. We'll catch you guys again next time right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.